welcome back to another extended research into Solomon's Gold series. Yep, we're still at it. Katagara, what is that? It's just another name in another language for the land of gold. It was mapped by Ptolemy, corrected and found by Magellan, and then ignored by academia because they are in the pocket of the British or shamed into disparaging the actual Katagara, of course, the Philippines. Really, the dumbest paradigm, and it permeates academia. We keep finding many such references, and no one should be surprised, as this is an archipelago of over 7,000 isles, after all. Even the name is very close to areas in the Philippines, even, we'll show you. It seems academics and scholars are completely in the dark on this one, for the most part, yet you will see this is very simple. The problem is, well, they ignore history, real history, about as valid as you get, such as Pigafetta's journal, the only eyewitness account of Magellan's arrival in the Philippines. That would be a duh, or the British form of scholarship, which ignores the Philippines, ignores Magellan and Pigafetta and basically all Spanish historians. Now, that's pretty stupid. And also ignores all Portuguese data, including the first globe of the world, maps based on their exploration of areas long before the British came to control parts of Southeast Asia, which were previously controlled by those same Portuguese. Talk about willing ignorance. You walk into the land and say, la, 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 I can't see anything that they found before. Da, 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 da. Yeah, right. They walked back thinking. 1,000 years, basically. And that's what we will demonstrate is some of the most illiterate propaganda out there is what they call British scholarship in academia. And again, it permeates all of academia around the world. Saddle up, cowpoke, and hop on your horse as we mosey on into the ancient land of gold, Katagara. In the 2nd century, roughly, Ptolemy, the Egyptian, wrote directions which have spawned a massive range of interpretations that continue basically to this day. We'll show you Magellan corrected Ptolemy because he was wrong, as this is basically he who charted his course, not to the Spice Islands. No, that's called willing ignorance, by the way. But directly to Katagara, Philippines, which is in fact where he landed. Yes, he told Filipinos when he was in the land of gold where he chose to land, where he said he wanted to go, where he wrote in his margin notes he wanted to go, and where he identified, even by, the degrees north, as the Philippines, not the Spice Islands of the Indies. That is illiterate. But again, they take what he tells Filipinos because he doesn't want to say to them, we came to attack your land and take your gold. Duh. But we'll get there. On many of the renderings of Ptolemy's geographical directions, we find Katagara. Notice all the way to the bottom right, Magellan's correction appears above. We'll go ahead and show you now, and you can see the difference in where it actually was and where Ptolemy placed it. But see, Ptolemy didn't go there. He didn't know. He's just following a legend. He's mapping it, well, in his case, written directions, and these guys map it, and they're different interpretations, but they're all pretty much below the equator there, just like that one, and they're all wrong. Because they're all proven wrong by the actual explorer. You know, the guy that actually went there named Magellan, whom they ignore. On this map, you will find geography quite out of whack in terms of the position of these far eastern islands. And no surprise, Ptolemy was not privy to much information about Southeast Asia. He clearly didn't know, hardly anything, because he missed, well, tens of thousands of islands and the entire Pacific Ocean, just the largest ocean in the world. But, nah, what difference does it make? Let's take his directions and make them concrete Bible, right? No, that's what the British do, and it's stupid. You can see as you progress to the Far East, though, his map ends at Burma with an enclosed Indian Ocean. It does not include the Malay Peninsula, which was never Ptolemy's Golden Peninsula. One of the dumbest books ever written is a scholar in, I guess, Singapore or whatever, who's trying to make that claim. And the guy, he ignores most of history in order to land on such with confused maps that all take Ptolemy and reinsert him, reinject him, over 1,000 years later, in really taking everything backwards. So everything that the explorers were finding, they were just ignoring, saying, no, we didn't hear anything. Nope, can't see you. However, let's be clear. Pliny was confused. All references to that land of gold, Aria, that's the name of it in Latin, which is Ophir, yes. In fact, it even begins with A-U. We prove that in the book. Also, we have a video, I think Let There Be Light, that covers that as well. Even in ancient Hebrew, it's A-U, and rendered wrongly in pretty much all modern Bibles. It doesn't start with an O. It starts with an A. An Aleph is an A. It's never an O. It's never a U. It is always an A. So it starts with an A-U in the Hebrew language in which it was originally written. Ophir is always, by the way, an island, as is Tarshish, in all writings except Ptolemy. Ptolemy didn't know what he was talking about in this regard, and really, just plain shouldn't be used in such sense. Use it the way we're going to use it in this video. We'll use his geography, and then we'll prove he didn't know what he was talking about, but he was following a legend to the land of gold indeed. Now, we all know this is wrong, of course. I mean, this map is obviously not a true representation because it's missing far too much. Note the progression, though, here. From the Sunda Islands to Saba Diba. Saba, Siba, Diba? Where could that be? Well, it's mapped as the Philippines later many, many times. We have a whole video coming on that. Don't worry. That is Sheba, in fact. We'll get there. Then a reference to Japan, essentially. Ptolemy never traveled to any of this region, so he's mapping things he really does not know. And Magellan will tell us so. How about that? These will become obvious later, especially to those who were actual explorers who actually went there. I mean, this is the biggest problem with academia today. They do everything in a vacuum, and they love to just sit in a vacuum and interpret and create this and create that, and they never actually go there. And they don't pay attention to the guys who did. Well, that's just illiterate. However, notice we have Sheba, Aria, or Ophir, same place, same word. We've even covered Josephus made that connection to the Hebrew Aria, Latin, to the Hebrew Ophir. Only he didn't seem to know Hebrew, thought he did, but evidently doesn't because he doesn't realize it starts with A-U as well. But anyway, I digress. And Katagara, all essentially together. Now, where'd that name come from? We're going to show you two. From the Philippines, and it's right there. What Ptolemy didn't know was all of these are actually the same archipelago. One he was completely unaware, geographically, of course. Again, he lived in the second century or so. So this should be no surprise. Here's another rendering of Ptolemy's map, and there are very many, but we will only cover a few here because they basically, essentially, say the same things. I mean, Ptolemy only wrote one set of directions. This one lacks detail, but notice, and this is the reason we're using this, how the Indian Ocean ends and is enclosed, the entire Pacific Ocean missing, all of the tens of thousands of islands of Southeast Asia, even all the way up to Japan, missing, a few represented. Why are a few represented? Because these are the legendary isles. These are the Isles of Gold. Here's another mapping of Ptolemy from the 1400s showing Maniola near India, which is wrong. Remember, Ptolemy actually wrote these directions in the 2nd century. So all these mappings, they may progress in date, but that doesn't mean they progress in mindset. In fact, they're using Ptolemy to take everything back to before the time of the Portuguese and the Spanish. This is what the British do. We're going to expose that at the end of this video. Now, that is mapped by the 1492 globe, okay? Very well. Maniola is in the Philippines. Here, it's near India, and that's wrong. The obvious reference to Manila, of course, is so glaring, yet much of academia says, nuh-uh. Yeah, I mean, even in the early 1900s, they were already starting that control line, and it's stupid. Problem. Uh-huh. You see, it's fact. And again, the 1492 globe proves it. You see the Sunda Islands, Malaysia, Sabah Diba, the Philippines. Again, we will cover that in a whole video coming. Aria, which can never be a peninsula, no, but must be an island. And it's Burma on this map, not the Malay Peninsula even, but either, as peninsulas are wrong in every sense. You see Japan, a reference to Japan, and there's Katagara. So all in the same area. They're all out of place. But this is from the 2nd century. Obviously, Japan's not right next to Burma, is it? Neither is the Philippines. But again, he didn't know anything beyond Burma. He didn't even quite know Burma. And this is no surprise in the 2nd century. It becomes antiquated information in the age of exploration, which is why, hello, British, you should progress and learn. How about that? Rather than bring Ptolemy back. That's nonsense. No problem with bringing him back and then comparing it and correcting it, because Magellan did. We'll show you his exact words. Yeah, they even had a theme song, Walk Like an Egyptian, right? Just teasing. I digress. But here's the problem. Ptolemy was not only wrong, he was corrected by Magellan in writing, and yet much of academia is completely unaware. How can this be? Now, once passing through the southern portion of South America, the Strait of Magellan, it would be come named essentially, Magellan set a course, and this tells us all. It's right here. It's in writing. Hello. Why can't academia see it? Who knows? But regardless, actually, we do know, because of British infusions in utter ignorance. And it's time to see through this. But check this out. This is awesome. Afterwards, we made 200 leagues to westwards. All right. So they left South America. They exited the Strait of Magellan. And now they're heading 200 leagues westwards. Then change the course to a quarter of southwest until, get this, where are they headed? Where is Magellan going? That's until in 13 degrees north latitude. Now, where is that? Note the dotted line on the map to the right. That's 13 degrees. The one on the top and the one on the bottom is 12 degrees with the red box there. Okay, Magellan knew exactly where he was going, and he told Pigafetta, who recorded it. There you go. This is called history, folks. This is valid history and cannot be overruled by a stupid Brit saying, he was going to where? Ophir and Tarshish, Katagara. In order to approach the land of Cape Gattacara. Now that's Katagara. Even in the footnote, if you see it there in Pigafetta's journal, there's a footnote. You click on the footnote and it says it's Katagara, C-A-T-T-I-G-A-R-A. It's right there. Which came, now get this, under correction of those who have made cosmography. Yes, Magellan corrected not just Ptolemy, but all cartographers before him on this topic. Katagara, done. He explored the Indies for Portugal, and he knew exactly where Katagara and Ophir were. And that was his destination, not the Spice Islands, which is stupid. Why didn't Ptolemy and the many, many cartographers get this wrong for so long? Here we go. Magellan says, "For they have never seen it. They didn't go there." Ha! Exactly what we've been saying all along. They create maps of areas they didn't explore. They have no record of the exploration. They're just placing a dot on a map, and it does not reflect any sort of accuracy whatsoever in exact position. Of course it wouldn't. I mean, you or I could take a map and put a dot and say, well, that's where Hawaii is, but that doesn't mean it's where it is. Maybe it's, you know, further north, further south, or whatever. We wouldn't know in such simplistic terms. And then he says, completely corrects this, is not placed where they think. So Katagara is not placed where those cartographers are saying. They've all been wrong. That's what Magellan says. But is towards the north. They have it below the equator. He's saying it's north of the equator. And where? Well, he tells us exactly. In 12 degrees or thereabouts. So between the 12th and 13th degree north, that's the red box between the two dotted lines that you see right there on that map. Now, that's right out of Pigafetta's journal, written while en route with Magellan. His journal sits in the major museums across the world, including even Yale has a copy of one of the originals. So, you know, it's pretty settled here. This is done. Academia should know this, yet many do not seem to. So as you see on the map here, Magellan is headed not just to the Philippines, but very specifically to between the 12th and 13th degree north, which is known as Samar. On the map, just look at it. There it is. Okay, you know, like Samaria. Yeah, Columbus was going where? To meet up with the lost tribes of Israel. Who would name Samaria? Don't know. So hard to figure that out, of course. Pigafetta just told us that is where Katagara is. Done. Settled. This is fact, and it's not up for debate. And what's there that could spawn the name Katagara? Oh, gee, I don't know. Maybe Katarman. Maybe. That's on Samar, which bears the legend of an inner earth chamber, likened to the Garden of Eden, perhaps. Yeah, they've expanded the story, and of course they always add, you know, stuff. But the origin of that story sure sounds more similar to the Garden of Eden and Enoch disappearing one day to go there, because that happened in that area. Nothing to see here, though. Or better yet, Katagara. Well, let's see. Karagara Leyte. Did you know there's a place called such? That's pretty close. But, nah, couldn't be. No, let's make up something and go find it someplace else. Why follow Magellan's actual science here? Well, those are dunderheads. How would Magellan know this? Also, another fact not left to guesswork. Duarte Barbosa, his brother-in-law, was also an explorer in the Far East for Portugal at the same time that Magellan was there, before they ever traveled for Spain and switched sides, really. He would return with Magellan for Spain, and both would die on that trip. From Indochina, essentially Vietnam, Barbosa encountered a unique people that caught his eye, and especially Magellan's, when he read about it. They trade the same goods as the Chinese in Malaysia. The Portuguese controlled territory at that time, by the way, so both Barbosa and Magellan would be well aware of this. These islands, not peninsulas, notice, in any record except for Ptolemy's erroneous one, are called the Leucos. Now, what could that be? Wow, are there some idiot guesses on this in academia? The Malaysians then admit they are not Ophir, duh, so how could any scholar go there? Well, they do. They define these Leucos as better and richer, more eminent merchants than the Chinese. These are men with more reputation and wealth than China. Now, who could that be? China is world famous at this point, especially the rage since Marco Polo. So who could this be? Who is this land? Wow. I mean, this is an amazing, incredible story if it trumps China. What could be more imminent than that mystical land of riches? Well, only one place. It's called Ophir in Hebrew, or Chryse in Greek, the land of gold itself, which is far more famous, over thousands of more years, really originating from Genesis 2, we've proven. Watch the series. That's who. Magellan knew this exactly as he took his copy of his brother-in-law's journal. And as we all do with our copies, he made notes. Oh, he falsified, right? Yeah, that's what idiots say. And there's a blogger who actually said that. Stupid. He crossed out the word Leucos and wrote in Ophir and Tarsus. The biblical Ophir and Tarshish, which one could it be? The one associated with King Solomon. There you go. That's a fact in history. And in fact, if you look in our source book, we not only offer that reference from author Charles E. Now, but we also offer the French journal which documents it. There you go. Wow. He found it. He knew exactly where it was. Even before his trip, he knew where he was going. He realized Ptolemy mapped it wrong. That's what he said, if you believe his words, of course, as it was further to the north, between the 12th and 13th degree north, right there as you saw it on the map. Realize Magellan and Barbosa were the foremost experts on this topic, period. No Brit ever has been. There is no better authority in that time nor today on this topic. The truly funny thing is academia in many cases skips the Philippines as it does not exist to them even in the Philippines in academia sometimes. Yet it does, folks. Sorry, it's still right there. Always has been. You can't skip it, egghead. They claim it in Japan and the Ryukyu Islands because, well, there's a tribe there, the Luki. Okay. Which almost kind of sort of sounds similar to the word Leucos, well, except it doesn't, and it's ridiculous. But why let that get in the way? I mean, why let all those little, you know, facts like Barbosa identifying these islands as across the sea from Vietnam? Oh, don't tell anybody that! It's supposed to be Japan, don't you know? That's not Japan. It's the Philippines. So in the 1500s, Barbosa and Magellan pinpoint the Philippines, not Japan. Then when Magellan is in Cebu, Pigafetta hears that these same Leucos come to Cebu in their 6 to 8 junk ships, as large as the Spanish, by the way. And then he tells us they originated in Northwest Luzon Island. Now, last we checked, Japan is not there. No matter what tribe may exist, even if their name was an exact match, which it is not even close, really. Then Pinto, another Portuguese explorer, was shipwrecked on northwest Luzon, which he called the Lucos Islands, and he even gave coordinates. So that's not Japan. Duh. The Lucos were famous for junk ships and trade, which Japan was not and had no junk ships in that era documented in history. The 1522 Spanish government document number 98 gives directions to the Philippines to what it labels as Lucos or Ophir, equating the two words as the same place, as well as Tarshish in the same region. In 1601, Gaval affirms the Lucos as the Philippines, and even the historian Castaneda in 1883 records that Pinto was southeast of Asia, that's called the Philippines, in the South China Sea on the Lucos Islands. Any scholar who can't figure out that is the Philippines should be fired immediately. So let's see. Japan is not southeast of China, is it? It is not across the sea from Indochina, is it? It's not on northwest Luzon Island, is it? Maybe we missed something here. And again, it didn't have junk ships, nor was it known for such trade as the Lucos, which fits the Philippines like a glove, and Japan, zero. Any other conclusion is unacademic, so let's not pretend any such opinions have any value whatsoever. Let's be clear. Magellan and the Spanish document number 98 specify the Philippines as Lucos and Ophir and Tarshish, period. Category is just another name for the same region. Also, Pigafetta records the Philippines was full of gold. Not only did they see it everywhere, though at first it was concealed from them in their first encounters. They were a little bit discouraged at first, in fact, but then they found this really was the land of gold. Pigafetta records entire valleys of gold, which he witnessed, as well as gold mines, and gold mentioned many, many times. But the Philippines always had alluvial gold deposits, which is what it must have to be the ancient land of gold at a time when they didn't dig into the mountains deeply. Also, the gold was sitting on the surface or near it, in streams, etc., which we have well covered in this series, as well as in the book, The Search for King Solomon's Treasure. Get the book for the full case. We prove it and support it with a 300-page source book. No one has been able to disprove it in over 5 years now, and they won't. And now it's just getting stronger. When we fast forward to the beginning of the Age of Exploration, the Portuguese were already in the Far East, controlling much of Malaysia and Indonesia, and they released this map in 1492, the Bahrain Globe, which we've covered. It corrects Ptolemy as well, as Magellan and Columbus, for that matter, all knew in that age that Ptolemy was antiquated thinking. It does show his supposed gold peninsula, because he named it the Area Chersonesus, but not because it actually was the land of gold. Let's be clear. For the land of gold is an island, not a peninsula, period. It is never a peninsula, period. It was because Ptolemy was identifying Burma, as you see right there, that they call that the Area Chersonesus. That is not the land of gold, however, and an incredibly goofy way to look at history, in fact. However, let's zoom in on the region of the Philippines as Bahrain, and the Portuguese, that's the data he used, knew what we just showed you Magellan knew, obviously. Remember, we covered in our Antilia video, a couple of videos ago in this series, Columbus knew this as well as used this map, which he specifically documents in his journal, the Bahrain Globe, the first globe. And there it is, and now you'll see it again for Magellan. The Portuguese knew they did not find the Greek land of gold, Chryse, which is Ophir in Hebrew, and also Kathagara, same. They knew that Argyre as well was not the Malay Peninsula nor near it, but both of these are in the Philippines. This view progressed, but see, what the British do is they cut out most of the progression and they start from 1,000 years before. That's just called willing ignorance, that's all. Columbus and Magellan both knew this. There's Maniola or Manila referenced where ships wreck, referring to the shoals. It calls them magnetic isles, but it means that the ships are drawn to them and shipwrecked there. That's what it is. And it's on the way to Manila, so Maniola, Manila, is appropriate in name. Christ is specifically Luzon Island, Philippines, period. There's no debating that. It even is the same shape. And it remains so to this day. That never changes. And that is Lucos as well, which, how exactly is that a surprise? As it is named, well, let's see, Lucan, Luconia for Luzon. Also, the northwest portion where the Lucos are from. Gee, who could they possibly be? Could the Lucos be the Ilocanos of Ilocos? Duh. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Argyre, the Greek land of silver, which is Tarshish in Hebrew, is Mindanao, Philippines. This was pinpointed already at that point and found by Magellan. Period. I mean, this was settled because an explorer found it. Only willing ignorance would then take that and say, I didn't see anything, I didn't hear anything, I don't know what you're talking about. Let's go back to Ptolemy 1,000 years earlier or more. Also, the Isle of Pearl, Thilis, which is identified on this map, essentially is Palawan, Philippines, a little out of place. It should be on the other side of the island, but same thing. Basically known for the largest pearls in all of history, and there is no second in the running ever for that. Remember, gold and pearl, those are two of the three resources of ancient Havila, in which this land has been famous since Genesis 2. Are we sure, though, that Magellan used this map? I mean, well, yeah, actually, 100%, because, well, Pigafetta says so exactly. Magellan told Pigafetta he used the marine chart of Martin of Bohemia. So he recorded, but notice the footnote, that's Martin Beheims, 1492 globe, which we just reviewed again. This is specifically what Magellan and Columbus both used, and we have firm evidence that they both say they used this map, period. This is one of the most significant maps in all of history, yet ignored, and it has the Philippines as the land of gold, silver, and pearl, and it is accurate in that regard. Wow. Advance to 1532, and they still knew that Burma was Ptolemy's erroneous golden peninsula. Again, a poor misunderstanding of the ancient Isle of Gold. It was never the Malay Peninsula, which is right there on that map, and yet it was never a peninsula anyway, because in all references, other than Ptolemy's error, it is an island, and that is what it must be. The origin of the narrative is what? The Bible. And the Bible calls it an island many times, both Ophir and Tarshish. It is so clear. However, the British then enter the Indies later, and when they do, they act, well, just about as stupid as a supposed academic can. I mean, rather than use and build upon the Portuguese and Spanish explorations and narratives, what do? They throw them out. How stupid. The epitome of willing ignorance. Why would they do that? Well, they would take geography back 1,000 years and start over as if Columbus, Magellan, Pinto, and others never existed. I can't hear you, they say, with their fingers in their ears. La, 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 right? Here's an earlier map before the Beheim globe with major flaws, but in 1448, this cartographer at least placed all the lands of gold in the same region. Why? Because they are. It's just not where he placed it, that's all. Again, Area is not Chersonesus or peninsula. It is Ophir, an island. This maps Ophir next to the right, basically, here. Magellan found that in the Philippines. So it's been found. We know where it is. There's Chrys and Argyre next to Ophir, which is also corrected by Magellan, as all these are the Philippines. Again, Chrys and Argyre right there on the 1492 map we just covered, which Magellan used. He was going to Chrys and Argyre, which he called Ophir and Tarshish. This is pretty simple, guys, and that is Katagara all the same. The British would go backwards and follow this antiquated information after the Spanish found Ophir, Chrys, Argyre, Tarshish, and Katagara all in the Philippines, where they still remain to this day. And not one single scholar can challenge this and disprove it. 5 years, none, and they will not. One last one, and this is really poor, but again, no surprise for the British, who are propagandists, essentially. Again, since Samuel Purchase in 1625 or so, when he was paid by the British East Indies Company to commit propaganda, what does he do? He just ignores that the Philippines exists. That's what he does. That's the tactic all along. And here we go again. John Caverhill deduced in 1767, before this map was created, that's why we want to cover this, that Katagara was the Mekong Delta. Okay, so we're talking about essentially Vietnam. Okay, so he deduced? Is that an accurate word? Not even remotely. Is that what you call a ridiculous guess founded on nothing but ignorance? You mean he ignores Magellan, you know, the actual explorer who found and corrected the course to Katagara in writing, and then he tries to figure it out, but, well, he's an idiot who ignores history, then claims to be an historian. Ta-da! Enough of this stupidity. I'd be academic, so I forget the explorer who landed on Katagara, who left actual coordinates. No, I'm going to throw that out and just make up my own location because, well, that's academic. If it is, then we should all reject everything that comes from academia for that matter. No, it's British propaganda. That's what it is. Yet again, in the dumbest rubbish, yet they make themselves so illiterate for the cause. It's embarrassing. And this is coming to light now. See, they can have their satanic religion propping up the great eagle head of the final empire. Watch Answers in Second Esdras. If you have not, we nail that. Ezra really nails it in prophecy over 2,000 years ago. Wow. This is reflected in this 1794 map where the British essentially go all the way back to the age of Ptolemy. They just moved everything back to Ptolemy, and they try to place it in different places. These are disproven guesses, reinvigorated then. That's called stupidity. They were already corrected, and they walked history and geography back 1,000 years in willing ignorance. Academia today pays attention to these stupid scholars who can't read. They move Maniola back to the Indian Ocean, yet it is Manila on the behind globe, essentially in reference. That is the first globe of the world and the valid reckoning of the Portuguese exploration data, period. Siba Diba, or Sheba, is the Philippines. Again, we'll cover this on later maps, and we will get there soon. And that's not in the Indian Ocean, is it? This is 1794, and the world just went backwards here 1,000 years, actually more. They place Area Chersonesus as the Malay Peninsula, which is stupid, and never what Ptolemy said. It was always Burma, and always wrong, as that is not the land of gold anyway, and it was not a peninsula historically, but an island in all valid references. Thus, the whole thing, a big misunderstanding. And here they place Katagara, which Magellan mapped as his destination, in the Philippines, specifically Samar, and they move it to Vietnam. Duh. That is ridiculous. But see, this is how you hide the land of gold. In order to then conjecture, which is what the British have done, multiple locations in an illiterate fashion. Oh, it's India. No, it's the Malay Peninsula. No, it's both. Stupid. No, it's Peru, because Peru has a P and an R in its name. Stupid. I mean, the British are the dumbest on these narratives. Tarshish is Spain. Illiterate. The King of Spain hired explorer after explorer to travel to Tarshish in the Far East. Hello? Can they read at all? Is the real question. And we listen to these idiots. Enough of this nonsense they call academia. Grow up, children, and learn how to read a map, because clearly they cannot. Where is Katagara? It is Ophir, Christ, Philippines, the land of gold. Specifically, Samar, in location between the 12th and 13th degree north. Yeah, it could be Leyte, but you know what? Samar, Leyte, essentially attached. They are almost the same island, so there you are. It's right there. Even in name, as we covered, it's very close. It's not like anyone could even read this any other way. The only way is to ignore Magellan, which they do, which is stupid. This is the Philippines, the true land of gold in all of history, and yes, that is fully proven at this point. Read our book, The Search for King Solomon's Treasure. Watch Solomon's Gold series for full support, and it's supported by a 300-page source book. We ain't playing, and this, my friends, is proven fact. Now, that was good. Unless you like the British propaganda, that is, and they are still going in circles, chasing their tails in the most illiterate scholarship ever. But maybe it's fun. Who knows? We are in the days of increasing knowledge when these control lines are being exposed and squashed, as this one is now. We have over 400 videos on this channel, one for every day of the year now, many just as profound, with some 50 or so in Tagalog for Filipinos, and now 6 in Spanish to start. We also have been setting up subtitles for 20-plus languages for most of our videos. Don't forget to like and subscribe and click the bell for notifications of new uploads. Join our email list, as YouTube fails to notify often, and we will notify you ourselves at thegodculture.com. Just fill in the pop-up there. We now have alternative platforms for videos on Rumble, Odyssey, and Utreon, and our podcast is also available for most of our videos. All links in the description box. And friend us on Facebook at The God Culture, /original. If you prefer an alternative, we now have Parler, link below. We now have 6 books published internationally, being read in over 100 countries, with our new release now available, The First Book of Enoch, the oldest book in history, and we prove it. Read the introduction. We also have now launched Ophir Philippines Coffee Table Book in the U.S., Canada, U.K., and many overseas markets on Amazon, and it is available in hardcover or softcover there, both color interior with very nice paper, excellent book. Additionally, we launched the Book of Jubilees, the Torah calendar with colored maps and interior, as so many had requested overseas. There it is now. And that is available in hardcover, color, softcover, color, as well as black and white. And the new launch, the Book of Enoch, First Enoch, is also available in this same 3 formats on Amazon overseas. Only black and white in the Philippines for now. All books, including Solomon's Treasure, are now free in ebook. Yes, folks, our content is free. Just go to OphirInstitute.com for all the links for your area for all of our books. More coming soon. Thank you for watching. Now, always remember, prove all things for yourself. Yah bless to everyone.